You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So good to see you all here. Isn't it great to be in church? Well, this morning we are continuing our Good Steward series. And who has enjoyed it so far? I have. I would encourage you that if you've missed any of the messages, they're available on our website, on Spotify, on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts. We just want to make sure we resource you well. And if you miss a week, that you can catch up easily. So we've heard two incredible messages already from Pastor Lee and Pastor Naomi. Weren't they great? They were certainly enlightening to me. So today we continue the series, and I want to pose the question this morning: what's in your hand? So throughout the series, we've been looking around a passage of scripture in Matthew, in chapter 25, starting from verse 14. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money." I want to know how he found it as well. Like, how would you know where you put it? "After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.'" You know, one of the things that really struck me in this scripture is that the master entrusted his money to them while he was gone. You know, I think sometimes we look at this scripture and we think that the master gave them the money. You know, the entire passage, the money belonged to the master, but he entrusted what he had to his servants. You know, he didn't give it to them. It remained his the entire time. You know, they invested and they earned a return on the money on behalf of the master. You know, to me, the master leaving the servants with the bags of silver speaks of his trust for them. You know, he trusted them enough to invest his money so that they could do that on his behalf. You know, that he trusted them to invest and steward all that he had given to them. And I want to encourage you that God has entrusted each of us with something. No, and he trusts us and he believes in us. You know, it's not by mistake that God has given you something, and we are called to steward all that God has given us. You know, he trusts us with that. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." You know, when we talk about stewardship, what is it that we're talking about? You know, we're talking about our being in our entirety. You know, stewarding everything that God has given to us. Stewardship isn't confined to some areas of our lives. You know, we're not talking about just money this morning. We're not talking about just gifts this morning. But God has called us to take care of everything that he's entrusted to us, you know, our everything. So this morning we're going to focus on what it is that God has given to each of us and how we are called to steward that and how God will continue to provide more for us as well. So we're going to take a look at a story from the life of Moses this morning. So Moses has just had an encounter with God by way of burning bush. It's not your typical Friday morning when a burning bush starts talking to you. And through that moment, God reveals direction and purpose to Moses. know, about delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. And God promises to Moses that he will be with him and that they will be delivered out of Egypt. You know, this morning, what is our purpose? What is it that God is calling each of us to do? Well, the one thing we all have in common is our collective calling, the Great Commission. Now, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, this is our collective calling. You know, this is our collective mission that we have as the body of Christ, but we are all uniquely purposed and positioned by God. And you know, I love that the Great Commission ends with a promise. You know, God, he promises that he'll be with us every step of the way. Because this commission that we've been given, sometimes it can feel so huge. You know, it's called the Great Commission after all. You know, it is huge. It can feel overwhelming. And I can imagine that when God spoke to Moses through burning bush, that he probably felt pretty overwhelmed as well. You know, the Israelites had been held captive in Egypt for 200 to 400 years. You know, Moses, I'm sure, would have felt like he was in over his head. You know, such an enormous task in front of him. So we pick up the story from Exodus chapter 4. It says, "But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you?" Then the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. "Throw it down on the ground," the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, "Reach out and grab its tail." So Moses reached out and grabbed it and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. So Moses is totally overwhelmed by the task at hand, by the greatness of the mission that God has set before him. But God had already equipped him with everything that he needed. You know, even though it might not have looked like it, even though it might have looked like he didn't have anything at all, God asks him, "What's in your hand?" You know, this morning, that same question is being asked to us. What's in your hand? What have you been given? You know, what God has given us to steward, sometimes it will seem insignificant. Sometimes what the mission that God has set before us feels beyond us. So insignificant with something that feels beyond us. You know, this task that's set before us can seem so humongous. But God has placed something in each of our hands. And you know, when we talk about what God has given us, you know, we don't deserve it, what he's given to us. You know, we don't deserve what we've been given, but he chose to give it to us. So think about this for a moment. You apply for a job, you're successful based on your resume and you get to the interview. You know, what are they going to ask you? They're probably going to ask you some questions which will lead to you explaining why you deserve the job. You know, you need to tell me why you deserve for me to give you a job. Like, why would I pay you money to do this job? Tell me why you deserve it. Because our society, it's quite merit-based. You know, everything works on merit. You know, we get what we deserve. We don't get what we don't deserve. But when God called each of us, when he set each of us apart, you know, it's not something that we had to deserve. It's not something that we had to work into. In fact, it's the complete opposite. You know, we don't deserve what God has given to us. But our purpose is handcrafted by him. You know, and not only do we have a handcrafted purpose, but God promises that he's going to equip us and resource us along the way. You know, he's going to strengthen us and empower us. So when we go for a job, we have to say why we deserve it, but God gives us something we don't deserve, and he gives us all the tools necessary to fulfill it as well. It's not based on merit. It's by the grace of God that each of us have been purposed. You know, we aren't given things to steward by God because we deserve them. We're given them because God created us to steward those very things. You know, it isn't by mistake. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You know, you are God's masterpiece. You know, that's something that we need to walk in. You know, it's not enough to just hear that this morning. You know, we need to claim that. We need to speak that out in faith. We need to believe it this morning. You know, you are God's masterpiece, and he has equipped you with what you need to fulfill your purpose, the things that God has planned for your life. You know, we're created just the way that God intended us to be created. You know, it's part of our very nature. You know, we can't be disconnected from it. It's part of our very nature because we are created in the image of God. You know, when we were created, we were given the identity of God. We were created in the image of God. You know, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve all these things, but we don't need to because it's a gift from God. Amen. Through his grace, it's given to us. So back to Moses, you know, God asks him, "What's in your hand?" You know, Moses is a shepherd, so he's got a shepherd's staff in his hand. You know, his staff is an instrument for him to fulfill his job. You know, that's all it is. It's not special. It's quite insignificant, but it was intentionally placed and positioned by God. So think for a moment about a shepherd's staff, what it's used for, directing smelly sheep. It probably smelt a bit all on its own as well. But God chose to give that to Moses for purpose. You know, can you imagine how Moses felt in that moment? You know, how will a shepherd's staff help me defeat the Egyptians? You know, the Israelites have been in captivity for 200 to 400 years. What's this piece of wood going to do? But what he had in his hand was more significant than he could have ever imagined. You know, what God has placed in your hand might seem insignificant. You might feel like you have nothing to give. And in comparison to the task that's set before us, it might seem like an impossibility. You know, in comparison to the task set before Moses, he would have felt that stick was worthless. But God had equipped Moses with exactly what he needed. And God has equipped us with exactly what we need. You know, it's all about how we view what God has entrusted us with. You know, through what perspective do we see what God has given to us? Do we see it as worthless, or do we see it as positioned and purposed for the mission that God's given to us? You know, because something that was so insignificant in Moses' life, just something that helped him do his job, herd sheep, became the key to the victory of the entire Israelite people. You know, what key has God given to you this morning? Amen. You know, your key this morning is in the gift that God has given to you. Your victory is in what God has given to you. You know, as the story continues with Moses, you know, first we see the shepherd's staff turn into a snake. You know, God asked Moses to place it on the ground and it turns into a snake. You know, I believe that there's something in that for us this morning. You know, Moses had to release what God had given to him. You know, he had to put action to what God has given to him. And when he released it in obedience with what God had asked him to do, he saw the miraculous. You know, I think sometimes we hold so tightly onto the things that God has given us because we're fearful of losing them. But as we release them, we will see miracles happen. We'll see great things. God can move upon it. You know, in Exodus 17, God tells Moses to strike his staff against a rock when the Israelite people are thirsty. And we have I have a picture. So in a kid's Bible, right, this is the stereotypical picture of Moses cracking the rock and water for all the Israelites. So how many people are there? 2, 4, 6, 8. So there's 8 guys standing around ready for a drink. It doesn't sound that impressive. But the truth is that the Israelite population was somewhere between a few 100,000 to 2 million people. You know, that's a completely different picture to the one that we see. I mean, isn't that miraculous? You know, through his obedience with that staff, water is provided for the entire Israelite people. You know, later in Exodus 17, we see that Moses' staff was key to a military victory for the Israelites. God commanded Moses to hold his staff in the air, and while he was doing so, the Israelites would win the battle. If he put it down, then they'd start losing. So he had to keep holding it up. You know, we need to keep holding on to what God has given to us. You know, don't put it down and forget it, because there's battles that we still have to win. You know, there's victories that we need to walk in. You know, whatever it is for you, if it's health, if it's family, if it's your marriage, your situation, whatever it is, you know, we need to hold on to what God has given to us, because it's a key to our victory, church. You know, staying in the journey, letting God be God. You know, Moses' staff was also key in parting the Red Sea. You know, if God can use Moses' staff in such great ways, like a piece of wood, imagine what he could do with everything that he's given to you. Because as Moses was obedient with what God had placed in his hand, what seemed mundane, what seemed worthless, as he was obedient with it, you know, they saw the glory of God. You know, God moved in ways that only God can. Divine intervention. You know, because it's not just enough to do our best with what God has given to us. You know, we need to be obedient to him, sensitive to him. You know, and when we're obedient, we can see amazing things happen. Because we see in Numbers chapter 20, the Israelites are thirsty again. Now, they're pretty demanding of old Moses. You know, he's so fed up with their complaining because they're thirsty that, you know, he grabs his stick and he cracks a rock with it. And, like, what would you expect to happen? Maybe water come out, because he'd seen that before. But the point is that God hadn't commanded him to hit the rock with the stick. He commanded him to speak to it. You know, obedience is so key. You know, God has something new for us every day. We need to be sensitive and listening to his voice. You know, maybe there's something in your life that you've kept striking. You know, we try to do it in our own strength, the ways that we know, in our own ability. So we just keep hitting it, and we're hitting a wall, and we're hitting a wall, and we're hitting a wall, where really God wants us to speak to it. You know, God has the victory. He's won the victory for us. And if we listen to his voice, if we're obedient to him, we can walk in the victory that he's won for us. You know, because God has equipped and empowered us for every circumstance. We just need to tune our ears to hear how he would want us to walk through them. You know, because Moses thought he knew the way to go. You know, he thought he knew better than God. And the truth is, that's probably a reality for all of us at some point. You know, we might think we know better than God based on our past experience. And this isn't a moment of guilt, but it's a moment of restoration. You know, we can always walk back to God, start walking in obedience to him, doing things the way that he would want us to do, and walk in the victory that he has for us. You know, God placed a staff in Moses' hand so that he could fulfill the mission that was before him. You know, delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. You know, God has positioned you today and filled you with purpose. You know, and what God has placed in your hand is for mission. You know, I want to encourage you that it's significant. You know, it's purposed, it's perfect. You know, don't underestimate the power of God with the things that you have in your hand, with what it is that God's given you to steward. Now, I want to look at the word providence quickly this morning. You know, it means the foreseeing care and guidance of God over the creatures of the earth, or manifestation of divine care and direction. You know, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." You know, God is provident. You know, God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. You know, he's sovereign over everything. You know, God is so powerful. You know, our creator. but he chooses to entrust us with his mission. You know, isn't that amazing? You know, and not only does he entrust us with the mission, but he entrusts us with giftings. He entrusts us with his power as well. You know, just let that revelation sink in this morning. You know, God, the creator of the universe, all-powerful, all-knowing, has entrusted each of us with something. You know, if that's not humbling, I don't know what is. You know, it's important that we don't forget that God is the creator of all things. You know, we're not self-made. We need him along the way. John chapter 15 verse 5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, in our stewardship, we need the hand of God. You know, we need God's power through what we're doing. And that comes through obedience, that comes through listening, being sensitive to him, what he would want us to do. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." You know, we can trust that God has equipped, empowered and positioned us perfectly for the plan that he has for each of us. You know, we already heard from Renu this morning that we don't always have all the answers, but God has given us exactly what we need. You know, that verse said that he'll supply all your needs from his glorious riches. You know, we'll never be left without what we need to see the victory in him. You know, you can be sure of that. We can trust God for that. Even though in our own understanding it might not look like it, we can trust that God has the answer, and God always has the answer for every situation. You know, there would have been times where Moses wouldn't have felt that he had it all together. You know, imagine even after seeing a burning bush, there still would have been moments of doubt. You know, hundreds of thousands of thirsty Israelites and no water. I imagine that would have been a pretty confronting situation. But he had to trust that God had the answer, and God had equipped him with everything that he needed, even though it looked mundane. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that what God has given to you isn't the same as what he has given to others. You know, we are all uniquely purposed and positioned by God. You know, comparison is a lie of the enemy. You know, we were never meant to be compared to one another. No, that's just straight up a lie of the enemy. You know, we are all uniquely created and purposed for what God has given each of us to steward. And what God has called you to steward is different to what he's called other people to steward. You know, we look at the passage at the start with the bag of talents. They didn't all receive the same thing, but they all received the same reward. You know, it's important, firstly, that we don't measure ourselves by others, but it's also important that we don't measure other people by ourselves. You know, that verse in Philippians says that God will provide all your needs. You know, he doesn't give the same thing to everybody, but he gives you exactly what you need to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for you. You know, stay on your own journey. You know, the path that God has laid before you. You know, you can't walk someone else's journey, because your journey is the journey that you are equipped, empowered, and positioned for. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 12 says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." You know, we come from different backgrounds, we come from different places. You know, we grew up with, you know, different environments, but God unites us all together in one body. It says, "Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, each part of the body is uniquely crafted. You know, you can't talk about the effectiveness of an ear based on how well it can see. You know, that's the same for us. We're uniquely positioned and purposed by God in the body of Christ. You know, for the body of Christ to function, each part is important. You know, just as each part of your body, except maybe the appendix, is important. You know, we are gifted for our purpose to work together as the body of Christ. You know, we steward what God has given us by activating it, by releasing it, by being obedient, by refining the gifts that God has given to us, you know, by exercising the gifts that God has given to us. And only you can steward your giftings. Only you can steward what God has given to you. You know, this is our personal responsibility. No one else can do it for you. You know, it speaks of our faithfulness toward God. And what I want to encourage you this morning is, what is it that pleases God? Because I can tell you what it's not. You know, it's not your ability. You know, it's not your talent. But it is your faithfulness toward him. It is how well you steward what he's given to you. How you're faithful to God. You know, just as the worship team come this morning. You know, there's power in unity. You know, we complement each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. You know, this speaks to me of the importance of faithfulness. You know, we aren't measured by the fruit that we produce because it's God who makes the seed grow. But what we are measured by is our faithfulness to the work that God has given to us. You know, being a steward of what he has placed on your life. You know, we're all on the same mission. You know, we're all on the same team, church. You know, walking together, working together. We are all uniquely purposed. And when we're faithful to God and all that he has given to us, we'll see amazing things happen. Now, I believe this morning that someone needs to hear that sometimes you won't even see the fruit of the seeds that you plant. It doesn't mean that God's not causing something to grow. You know, because sometimes we reap the rewards of those faithful who went before us, and sometimes we plant seeds today for those faithful that will go after us as well. You know, we can steward for the next generation today. You know, being faithful with all that God has given to us and passing it on to the next generation. You know, sometimes we won't see the fruit, but we can have faith that, you know, if we walk in faithfulness with God, that something good will grow, that there will be fruit even if we don't see it. You know, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 11 says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. You know, God has given us everything that we need. What you have is sufficient for the plan that he has for your life. Because faithfulness is number one, not what we have. What we have pales in comparison to faithfulness. Now, this morning I want to close with a passage of scripture from Ephesians, because it shows us a glimpse of Paul's heart. You know, at the start of Ephesians it says, assuming by the way that you know God gave me, Paul, the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. So we see the purpose that God has given to Paul. And through this verse, just allow these words to speak to your heart. We get a glimpse into the heart of Paul, how strong his heart yearns to see everyone experience what he has experienced. And he understands that it's not by his power, but by God's power and being faithful with what he has. So from verse 14, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And why don't we stand this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for everything that you've given to each of us. God, we're so thankful that you've given us things to steward, God. God, I pray that right now that you would give your church revelation of all that you've given to them, God. God, the significance of what you've placed in their hands, God. God, I pray that you would give revelation of purpose this morning, God. Revelation of your divine plan and path, God. God, that you would speak to hearts in this place this morning. That something would rise up inside of your church this morning. Such a faith to see.